What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Periodic Table. I am, of course, your host, Brandon Hanna. I did that out of order. Anyways, I'll get back to that. But I am a mechanical engineer. You might know me as a host from AfterBuzz TV or the Popcorn Talk Network or even in the movie Trivia Schmodown. But this is the science show, the weekly science news show. We just talk about the hottest science news stories of the week. We break them down. And are we experts?
No,
absolutely not. But you know what? We're here to learn along with you. This is one big virtual science classroom, and I have one amazing guest with me today. You might know her also from the Schmodown Entertainment Network, First Cut, The Meaning of Podcasts, or Geeks of Color. It is the amazing Sabrina Ramirez.
Hi. Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being on a very last minute. It's been a difficult weekend to schedule this show, but I'm glad we were still able to bring it to you all anyways. And we do have an amazing show for you all today. Perseverance lands on Mars. Yes, the latest Mars rover. It has touched down to the surface. And while everything appears to be running, functioning as expected, and a lot of exciting developments there. And also scientists, well, they've entered people's dreams to get them talking. Nice. Sounds very much like a Christopher Nolan movie. We've made many such type references on this show here in the past. And well, that's not going to stop here today. And of course, we do have a special segment for you guys. This is something I'm calling food science. Is it a good idea to ferment this? We're going to talk all about the wonderful world of fermentation, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But before we do that, let's get back up to business. Perseverance. Well, it landed on Mars. This is super exciting. I've got my NASA mug here today, drinking my Earl Grey, which is Jean-Luc Picard's tea of choice. So
I put him onto that, by the way.
She did. I never had it before in my life. She suggested it, and I was like, well, that's what Jean-Luc Picard drinks in Star Trek, so I've got to try it. And I'm a fan.
It's good.
It is very good. What else is good? Well, the largest, most advanced rover NASA has ever sent to another world touched down on Mars on Thursday after a 200-day journey traversing 293 million miles. Confirmation of the successful touchdown was announced in Mission Control at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Southern California. Hey, that place sounds familiar to me. At 3:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Packed with groundbreaking technology, the Mars 2020 mission launched on July 30th, 2020. So that is 7 months ago. That's a long journey indeed. From Cape Canaveral, the Space Force Station, I guess is what they're calling it now in Florida. But we're not going to get too heavy into that on today's show. But the Perseverance rover, it marks an ambitious first step in an effort to collect Mars samples and return them to Earth. So there is a lot to get into here. The Perseverance rover has a lot of nifty gadgets, a lot of great technology, and a lot of amazing discoveries to be made. But before we get into the nitty-gritty details, Sabrina, I want to throw it over to you. What are your overall thoughts, feelings, impressions of this rover touching down on the surface of Mars?
Well, obviously, it's something really incredible. It's a great feat. I didn't know it takes this long. Honestly, we all know that it takes forever to like travel through space. Also, guys, not an expert here. That's the beauty of everything. But 7 months, launching in July and then landing just the other day. I mean, that's just crazy to think about. It's weird to think about 7 months ago, we were still inside. This has all happened during quarantine. This whole last year has been so weird because I feel like citizens and civilians, we've all been inside. Our lives feel pretty stagnant, but things like this are still happening. And so there's little things to celebrate all throughout the past year. So I think this is really, really great. I'm not too familiar with what they're doing. I know that this one has a camera. This one's able to pick up audio and everything like that. So, you know, like it's just something that's really exciting.
Yeah, it is really exciting here, guys. Let's get into some of the capabilities of this rover. So I don't even know where I want to begin. I'm looking at my notes here and there's just so much to uncover. We do know, actually, I'm gonna go over to this. This rover, and like you touched upon, unlike other Mars rovers, it's actually able to record video and audio. We actually had a couple weeks on this show. We had a clip that we covered in our special segment that was a panoramic photo of Mars taken by the Curiosity rover with audio provided by the InSight lander that was sent to Mars to study basically like seismic activity and earthquakes. And scientists were able to take that seismic activity that was caused actually by vibrations from the wind and convert it into a sound and merge those two medias together to create what felt like a video. But this is actually the first rover sent to Mars with the capability of both audio and video. And actually, I do have a photo here. If I go go here, I don't know what to call it, my little technical area, but let's go to this photo here. This is actually a still from the Martian rover actually being brought down to the surface of Mars by a crane that is actually almost works like a jetpack. It has thrusters. It's really amazing technology, very similar to what they used on the Curiosity rover. And this is actually a still image of the rover being, what's the word?
Dropped onto Mars?
Dropped down, lowered down onto the surface of Mars via cables. But what we know now is that this is actually a still image from a video. There's actually video of the landing of the rover touching down onto the surface for the very first time. And that footage will actually be released tomorrow, I believe, from NASA. So yeah, keep
it. Just missed it.
Keep an eye out for that. It's going to be released tomorrow. And it's really exciting. I'm super excited to look at that. And also, this rover has the ability, where they landed this rover is in a crater where they believe once had ancient microbial life. They believe there was a large body of water in the region of Mars where this rover landed. So they're going to try to, I believe, examine the soil and see not just if there's signs of ancient microbial life, but if there's still potentially microbial life underneath the surface where we can't see it. So what are your thoughts on possible life on Mars past or present being discovered?
Well, I mean, the first thing that I think about too, when we talk about perseverance is, does it have a buddy? Is it alone all by itself on Mars? Mars is huge and it's just roaming it alone. I don't know. It's one of those situations where I think they should have made another tiny one, like a little puppy, have a little pet with it. And then they could do together. Maybe one could pick up audio, one could pick up video. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. So that's crazy. But also, yeah, obviously, the idea of testing to see if there, like, obviously, we know there was life or if there's still life underneath the surface. It's something really interesting because, you know, everybody's theorizing Earth is going to explode. Let's just go to Mars. So can they house us? Can we form our little NBA bubble on Mars? I don't know.
I don't know if we're quite there yet.
Well, yeah, not anytime soon.
And it's okay. Actually, this is actually a great way to bring this up. Perseverance is not alone. Perseverance has a little buddy, almost like, I don't know how to describe this, maybe like a tiny transformer that lives inside of a larger transformer. I don't know if you've seen those Michael Bay movies, but you know. So basically, let's just put up another image here. For you guys, look at this.
Wait.
This is exactly what it looks like. This is a little RC helicopter that deploys from the Perseverance rover, and they're going to try to fly this bad boy around Mars. And his name is Ingenuity.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
This actually really gets me super excited just because, like, you know, I've had experience like working in the aerospace industry. And one of the cool things is when you design something that goes up into space, you have to test it under conditions, non-Earth conditions. You have to try to simulate non-Earth conditions, space conditions, in this case, Martian conditions, when you design a piece of technology such as this. So I don't even know where to begin. The helicopter will have a 30 Martian day, which is a 31 Earth day. So it's actually interesting. Little sidebar that Martian days and Earth days closely line up with a month-long sample size like that. I didn't know that particularly off the top of my head. That I think it's interesting that the Martian days and Earth days kind of line up similarly, but this is an experimental test flight window. And if Ingenuity survives its first bone chilling Martian nights, where temperatures dip as low as -130°F.
That's like Chicago, honestly. That's not that bad.
I think it's a little worse than Chicago.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. But the team will proceed with the first flight of an aircraft on another world. So if you guys look at the article, and this comes directly from NASA, and as always, guys, the links to the articles are always in the description down below. They talk about how there's a long process. And like I said, it's a 31 Earth day experimental test flight window where they're going to run some tests. They're going to try to fly this thing. There's a whole period of time where they're going to periodically charge the battery. And this is like a lithium ion battery, like off the shelf, which is pretty incredible that they're going to charge it incrementally first to 30% and then to 35% fully charged and so on and so forth. I don't know what the exact reasoning behind that is. So I think that's a good question for another day, why they need to incrementally charge the battery instead of doing it all at once. But I think this is really, really fascinating for engineers, I believe, from NASA and Lockheed Martin and maybe a few other companies as well. I think I saw Qualcomm also mentioned in this article, for them to be able to design and put together a helicopter meant for flying on the surface of Mars is super insane to me for a number of reasons. One being Mars is like a third of the size of Earth. It has a third of the gravity of the gravity of Earth. So gravity is significantly less on Mars. And also the atmosphere is way significantly thinner on Mars than it is on Earth. The atmosphere is not nearly as dense. So for them to design a helicopter that can fly under such vastly different conditions as far as gravity and atmospheric pressure, I think that is absolutely incredible. Please, Sabrina, tell me that you are just as impressed as I am about this helicopter, and don't hold back.
Oh yeah, nah. I think this is pretty crazy. I remember when I was growing up, my dad got this drone and he was super excited about it. Actually, it started out where he got, this has nothing to do with this at all, but I'll get to
keep
it.
Keep going, it's fine.
I swear. So he actually had little gas powered like cars and like helicopters that he would kind of like drive around the neighborhood or fly into the air. And then it went from that, and I thought that was super cool. Then it went from that to us having like drones attached with cameras on it. And I feel like that's our own little scientific actual drone. Does that make sense? It doesn't have anything on the influencers going to Bali and, you know, with their drone cameras. I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think it's really, really awesome, really fascinating. And I talked about them charging the batteries to this drone. And what I thought was interesting is it looks like they're trying something a little different as far as the power source for this rover. What we would all immediately expect is it's like probably got like a big solar panel on it. And that's how it is generating electricity. But there's actually a power system on board this spacecraft, and I'm actually, or this rover now, that I am not familiar with it at all. And I'm going to have to do more research. And I encourage you guys to maybe do a little bit of research on your own, and we can get back next week and see what each of us has discovered. But the power system that provides both electricity and heat to Perseverance, it's a multi-mission radioisotope thermoelectric generator. Sounds like I made that up, but I promise you I didn't. The U.S. Department of Energy actually provided this to NASA through an ongoing partnership to develop power systems for civil space applications. Yeah. So let me say that again, a multi-mission radioisotope thermoelectric generator.
Or an MMRTG.
An MMRTG. So I think that is something of note as well. It's not just like basic solar panel type power. So I'm going to have to do some research on that on my own and get back to you all on that.
You mean they don't just like plug it in somewhere and charge it like in an outlet?
No, unfortunately they don't have anything of the sort.
That's crazy.
On the surface of another planet.
Luckily we do.
Yet. Luckily, we do. So guys, let us know in the if you're watching live right now, let us know what your thoughts on the whole Mars rover situation is, because I think this is really cool. This is a huge step forward in terms of discovery on the surface of another planet. And it's not just like another Mars rover, like what else can they do? No, this one actually, it really is, I think, a huge leap forward in technology and human discovery and all the great things that science and NASA, I'm gonna show off my mug again, is all about. So I'm super excited about that. And if you're watching after the fact, leave a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts. And guys, be sure to hit that like button. Subscribe to this channel if you're not subscribed already. Hit that little notification bell so you don't miss out on any of these episodes, unless you don't want to watch it. But please, come back and watch it. We love talking science with you all. It's a lot of fun every single week. With all that being said, are you ready to move on to our next story for the day?
I was born ready.
Born ready. Sabrina was born ready for this, guys.
Let's go.
So let's see. We have scientists entered people's dreams and got them talking. So to read right off the first paragraph of the article here and jump right on in the movie Inception, Leonardo DiCaprio enters into other people's dreams to interact with them and steal secrets from their subconscious. Now, it seems like this science fiction plot is one baby step closer to reality. Ooh, I don't know about that one, guys. Yeah. I'm already 2 sentences in this article and I'm not having it. But for the first time, researchers have had conversations involving novel questions and math problems with lucid dreamers, which are people that are aware that they are dreaming, for those that do not know. But the findings from 4 different labs and 36 participants suggest that people can receive and process complex external information while sleeping. We have a cognitive neuroscientist, Benjamin Bard at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, saying, "This work challenges the fundamental definitions of sleep." So sleep has kind of been a huge mystery among the scientific community for centuries now. We still don't really know why we dream, what exactly goes on when we dream, but this looks like the type of research that could potentially get us another step closer towards having a better understanding of what happens when we sleep. But Sabrina, before we get into a little bit more here, I want to know what your overall thoughts on this article, on this development of people being able to be communicated with while they dream from the outside world. I think that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I actually am a lucid dreamer. I lucid dream all the time. I can control my dreams. I'm aware that I'm dreaming. I've always had this weird relationship with sleep. So this kind of scares me. I don't love this. I feel like just because we have the science to do so doesn't mean we should do it. It's something that we see in all these science fiction movies. Like we're talking about Inception. We talk about Eternal Sunshine, where in his sleep, they're manipulating his memories. There's so many different ways that something like this could be the start and it can just get to something greater. Michel Gondry even talked about Charlie Kaufman as well with Eternal Sunshine, that some of the technology that was talked about in the film was actually already existing and really in early stages. They weren't ready to use it or anything, and they're still not. But it's just pretty crazy. And it's also interesting that they're using math problems. I don't want to do math when I'm awake. I definitely don't want to do math when I'm sleeping. Just let me be, leave me alone. So that's it. If you want to ask me questions, you want to talk to me, that's fine. Don't give me math problems.
Yeah, I mean, and I think if you're such a lucid dreamer, you would actually be perfect for one of these studies. Mm-hmm. So maybe we need to get on the phone with some of these scientists.
Just no math.
And you can make history. like you said, they did ask math problems to some of these lucid dreamers. They asked them yes or no questions. They asked them it was basic math problems, 8 - 6 or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And it was,
I
think,
don't want to do it.
You don't want to do
it. Doesn't matter. No? Even if it's basic.
That is really, it is basic arithmetic. I don't know what the big deal is, guys. But I mean, this is absolutely crazy. So as the participants fell asleep, the scientists monitored their brain activity, eye movement, and facial muscle contractions, which are common indicators of REM sleep. REM sleep stands for rapid eye movement, because I guess when you're in that stage of sleep, that's what your eyes are doing,
really
moving rapidly. And so, I'm going to try to pronounce this word. So they studied the facial muscle contractions with electroencephalogram helmets. I think I butchered that completely right over here. And we are looking at our notes here, guys.
So.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do
that. Electroencephalogram helmets outfitted with electrodes. That's a word I know. So out of a total of 57 sleeping sessions, six individuals signaled that they were lucid dreaming in 15 of them. And in those tests, researchers asked the dreamers simple yes or no questions, like we said, and math problems. And to answer, dreamers used the signals that they had been taught before falling asleep, which included smiling or frowning, moving their eyes multiple times to indicate a sum, or in Germany, moving their eyes in patterns that match Morse code.
That's crazy.
I can't even do Morse code on its own. If you ask me to do it with my eyes, that's ridiculous. To do it with my eyes while I'm sleeping? What? I can't do that. Can you do that?
No, definitely not. I love how this is France, Germany, the Netherlands, and the US, but Germany is the only one that did Morse code. It specified, it said only in the German lab, moving their eyes in patterns that match Morse code. So maybe that's something that they learn. I feel like that should be something that we kind of know for specific reasons. Who knows? Maybe you need Morse code one day. So that's cool. Maybe they teach it in Germany. But yes, this is kind of insane. The idea of sleep in general is so crazy to me. It's just like every single day we need this specific amount of hours. Like we have all these different cycles and phases, and you might be in like a super deep sleep and get woken up, sleepwalking, sleep paralysis. All of that has just kind of like, it's been so interesting to me to kind of look into. And I also really enjoy that. Like something, I like that we're getting to the point where we understand it better, but there's something that we do that we can't fully explain every single thing about it. We just know we need to sleep, we need to rest, and that's how we function. So it's pretty crazy that we're kind of getting into understanding more about lucid dreaming and about different phases and what happens, because I know like everybody watching has probably experienced something similar, but there's been times where I get 10 hours of sleep, and that never happens, by the way. It's maybe once a year. I get like 10 hours of sleep and I'm still exhausted afterwards. And because it's not even the amount of time, of course, we want the length to be at least within that like 6 to 9 hours or whatever it is. But it's also about the cycles that you do go through and how deep of a sleep that you're getting. It's pretty crazy, honestly. And something like this is just a little scary. I don't know. What are they training us for? I'm kidding. It's just like in sleep, it's so interesting to be aware and to be doing studies on this kind of stuff. Yeah,
it is.
Are you a lucid dreamer?
No, I think I can like remember one time I was in a dream. I was in a nightmare, realized I was dreaming, and tried to wake myself up.
Yeah, and didn't work?
It worked eventually, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never been able to really control anything in my dreams, though.
I can. I can be like, all right, I'm dreaming. Let's change this, this, and this. I had a lot of like nightmares when I was younger because I loved horror movies. I loved all that kind of stuff. And it just like ruined my little young mind. And so even still to this day, if there's a situation I'm in my dream and I don't want to be in it, I'm just like, wake up. And I immediately wake up. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, guys, we don't have to be too worried about anybody entering anybody's dreams anytime soon. This is actually, it's really just a proof of concept. There's a lot of work yet to be done. The researchers asked 158 questions of the lucid dreamers who responded correctly 18.6% of the time. The dreamers gave the wrong answer to only about 3.2% of the questions. 17.7% of their answers were not clear, and 60.8% of questions got no response at all. Yeah. So while this study shows, especially because they've done it like four different locations, like four different independent studies doing the same thing, and they all got some level of promising results, that shows that there definitely is something there to build off of, to grow off of. There's some real science there to be discovered, but it's kind of, it's a far ways away from anything science fiction-y, scary, Black Mirror episode type stuff, which...
It just is pretty crazy because I feel like we, in a situation like this, obviously they're able to listen and understand what's happening around them as they're sleeping. Has this ever happened to you? Like if you leave a movie on or if you're listening to music when you fall asleep and you accidentally fall asleep and you can hear it in your dreams as well.
I've had that.
That's basically the same thing. Imagine if that were to happen and that's kind of how they're communicating. So it's just really interesting to think about during this time that we think our brains are like turned off and our body's asleep. It's actually not. You're still on high alert. You're still capable of understanding your surroundings, just not to the ability if you were completely awake. It's just interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is. And what I also found particularly interesting was, because like I said, we talked about how the, I don't know how you want to call them, the dreamers, we'll call them, were able to respond to the scientists conducting the experiment. But there's actually a little paragraph in here about their point of view on the experience. It says here, after several questions, the dreamers were woken up and asked to describe their dreams. Some remembered the questions as a part of the dream. One dreamer reported math problems coming out of a car radio.
Yeah,
I'm getting WandaVision vibes on that. Another was a party when he heard the researcher interrupting his dream like a narrator in a movie to ask him whether he spoke Spanish.
It's like being John Malkovich. It's like one of those situations. That's exactly what I was talking about, where, you know, you listen to something and it makes its way into your dream because we are absorbing what's happening around us even without realizing it. So it's pretty crazy. I just wonder, being one of these people in this study, I wonder how that experience would be. I wonder how comfortable you are when you wake up and it's like, oh yeah, these people are like paying attention to everything that's happening. It's pretty crazy. And just to see how easy it is to manipulate something that's going on in your own head, just in your surroundings, they're asking you questions, they're doing all of that, and that's changing your own dreams. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it certainly is. And guys, let us know in the live chat, in the comment section down below, what are your thoughts? Are you afraid of anyone trying to implant an idea in your head?
Or subconsciously.
Subconsciously. Or do you think that we're pretty safe off? I don't know. I say keep doing the research and see what happens.
Yeah, but know when to stop. Know when to stop. We don't want to be in this dystopian science fiction world.
No. Not yet, anyways. If things get boring down the line, we'll reevaluate the situation.
Absolutely not.
And see where we are. But I just want to thank everybody commenting in the live chat, watching now. We have Jake Iacovetta, Raul Mendoza, Cam Shaft, PLD, Brandy Parker, Sabrina Ramirez. Oh, wait, she's right here.
Yeah.
And William Belford. Thank you so much for joining us here today. It's super great to have you. And just now looking at the live chat, Knights of the Periodic Table from William Belford. I like that.
Okay.
I think we should use that name for our fan base going forward. I don't know. Do we have a fan base? Would you consider your guys fans of the show? Comment down below if you would consider yourself a Knight of the Periodic Table. Are you on board?
I like it. Yeah, I'm on board with it.
Are you my Lancelot?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Perfect. Great to have you here, Lancelot. Let's let's get into our final story here for the day. And what's that? It is our special segment, which I'm calling Food Science. Food Science, the wonderful world of fermented foods on one delicious chart. So I'm going to bring up this chart actually right now for everyone watching. It might be a little hard to read. I hope you can read it. Obviously, guys, if you want to see the full high resolution version of the chart, the link is in the description. But this is just, I thought, a fun little article talking about fermented foods and all the different types of fermented foods in various different cultures, made of various different types of foods.
Fermented foods.
Are you?
Yeah. Have you guys ever watched Brad Leone's I forgot what it's called, but it's called It's Alive.
No.
There's a whole thing where a chef just makes fermented foods from all over, all different kinds of stuff. It's super interesting.
Wow. I definitely will have to go and check that out. This is a really short article, guys. Like I said, I think this is just a fun little thing to kind of look over and talk about because not everyone initially wants to talk about science, but everyone could get on board talking about food.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
That's how you hooked me onto the show today.
Exactly, right? I mean, she was telling me, no way, Brandon, am I coming on this show? And I was like, you like kombucha, right?
I love it.
Yeah, I love kombucha. Now, thanks to you, actually.
I put you onto another tea.
Yeah.
But this one's fermented.
Wow.
Wow.
I did not have any tea in my life prior to meeting you. And
you're welcome.
I'm happier for it. But no matter who you are or where you live, you've almost certainly eaten something fermented. As this article in Popular Science states, humans have been processing food this way for at least 10,000 years in cuisines on every populated continent. Microbes like bacteria and fungi flourish when feeding off carbohydrates, turning sugars into a wealth of new chemicals like the carbon dioxide in breads, ethanol, and alcoholic drinks, and lactic acid in dairy. The resulting foods have qualities ideal for human sustenance, prolonged shelf life, better digestibility, and enriched nutritional and flavor profiles. And the buffet above, referring to this graphic, it represents just a sampling of the treats of species of brines, brews, cures, and cultures from around the world. And the article makes a specific note, and we didn't even count cheeses. So wow. There's no cheeses in this graph. But
I didn't even know that cheese would be classified as like fermentation, just because I don't know a lot about cheese.
I suppose it would.
Yeah, it makes sense now thinking about it. But yeah, I didn't consume cheese for years, so I just never thought about it.
Yeah, I for one am a huge fan of cheese.
I am now, kind of.
Kind of.
More than usual.
Unless you're lactose intolerant, and then that kind of goes out the window. But sometimes you need to like treat yourself a little bit with some pizza. Or something to that effect. But yeah, I just thought this was a really fun little way to look at science and food. And wow, there are just way more different types of fermented food than I imagined. And the health benefits, the taste benefits, the prolonged shelf life.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a single bad quality of fermenting foods, unless you ferment the wrong thing. You know, some things just can't be fermented, guys.
That's a little bit different. I actually saw a like homemade wine that people were fermenting. It became like an internet trend for a few weeks. People were doing that, but there's an easy like mistake that you can make. You have to know what you're doing a lot of the times because it can be toxic if you do it yourself. So you just have to follow the right instructions and directions with everything. Make sure you're doing it right. Because there's been so many times that I've been watching It's Alive and I'm like, I want to ferment this thing. And I don't have the same talent that Brad Leone does. So I'll leave that to him. But it is interesting to see stuff like wine, beer, things that we knew, like miso, obviously, as well. Kombucha, one of my favorite drinks of all time.
Yeah. I mean, right before going live on this show, I was scrolling through Twitter and I actually came across a tweet of a TikTok that you also liked. This guy just this new TikTok trend of his, I guess, can I hit this with a hammer?
Oh,
is what I saw. And I'm just thinking now, should we start our own TikTok? Can we ferment this?
Fermentation is basically just leaving stuff out with like little air holes and just leaving it in like room temperature.
Seeing what happens.
And seeing what happens.
Letting bacteria do its thing.
Very sick if we do this.
We don't have to consume it. We just kind of look at it and like prod at it and see what it smells like.
Can we just take random things from our fridge right now, like a piece of lettuce? It's like, can we ferment this?
I bet you could. I bet it's on that chart somewhere. Who knows? But guys, let us know. I know like it's actually a hobby of some people to ferment things, to make their own. Ginger beer is a good example that you could make using fermentation. There's many different beverages in particular that we consume that are fermented. So guys, if you're a hobbyist and you're watching and you ferment your own stuff, let us know what it's all about. What do you like to ferment at home? And hopefully you're doing it safely and you really are at least some level of an expert in it. And you're not just goofing around like we were just talking about. Let's see. But we have in the chat now, William Belford, talking about kombucha, saying another thing people have convinced themselves tastes good.
I'm offended. Wow. It does taste good. Also, it's great for gut health and like probiotics and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So all of this has health benefits as well. Kind of like you mentioned in like the article, has a lot of health benefits. I genuinely love the taste of kombucha, but I totally understand that there's some that aren't that great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to like check like brands and flavors. I feel like GT's, that one, GT Dave knew what he was doing when he made that kombucha brand. It is great. Every single flavor, doesn't matter if it's green, red, yellow, it's flawless.
Yeah, I GT Dave sponsored this show. I am in particular a fan of the trilogy flavor.
Yes.
Also the ginger one.
Yeah, I like the ginger one.
I enjoy quite a bit because it's almost like I'm a huge fan of ginger ale, ginger beer, stuff like that. And this is like a healthy alternative.
It really is.
Than just like drinking some Schweppes or like Canada Dry or something.
Yeah,
like
that was like my anti-hangover thing. And I didn't do research, so I can't confirm or deny if this is actually real. But my anti-hangover thing was actually to drink, for my first drink, a cup of kombucha with some vodka in it. And I wouldn't be hungover the next day. So, you know, it's all those benefits. There's so many great things. Not only is the flavor there, but then you won't have the headache the next day.
And kids, if you're watching at home, do it minus the vodka. If you're ever trying to, yeah, you know, get some health benefits.
Yeah.
PLD, you could do whatever the heck you want. It's fine. William Buffer talking about macaroni and fermented milk products doesn't sound as good. Well, I mean, if we're talking about cheese, then of course I'm on board. Which is, I wonder how, like, I mean, people have been doing this for 10,000 years, according to the article. It's just crazy, yeah, how, like, human beings were just leaving stuff out and being like, like with cheese, for example, you just like leave like milk out or whatever. You come back, you're like, oh, this looks and smells different.
Well,
like taste it. You're like,
Hello. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have any of that. So that's why a lot of the things too with like seasoning our food, obviously it's great for flavor, but like back then they would just like coat it in salt. And then that way it like preserved, yeah, it more. I know my mom, she grew up in Poland and they have all these different kind of preserved, like fermented things. My mom makes like fermented like onions. So it's just like a different kind of, I don't know how to describe it necessarily. Basically like fermenting stuff, pickling stuff, all of that is very common in other places. Just because of the conditions that they're in, it's just something that you preserve these food items. You're not wasting it, especially if it's on its way out. It's like, let's jar it, put some stuff on it, ferment it, leave it out. It is pretty crazy though. Like if you left a piece of cheese out or some milk out and it became cheese and I came into the kitchen and I saw it, I would not be happy and I would definitely not eat it. So, you know, I feel like I love that there's people that really look into this and know all the necessary steps, like GT Dave. Thank you, William Belford, for saying I'm the Jamie Lee Curtis of kombucha. That is true. I would like to take that title.
And I would love to be whatever title it gives me to have any kind of sponsor on the show. GT Dave or DiGiorno, if you're still listening, I will shout it from the mountaintops. Can we ferment a DiGiorno pizza?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
Actually, okay, so I don't know if this is real, but obviously there's some foods that have so many unhealthy preservatives that you could leave them out for a pretty large amount of time and they won't, they won't like rot or go bad.
Like a super Big quickly Mac.
Yeah, like Big Macs, McDonald's hamburgers. I'm not gonna lie, McDonald's, it hits. But
McDonald's, if you want to sponsor this show, am I a sellout? Yes, I need the money.
The spicy nuggets are back.
Yes, the spicy nuggets are back, guys. Go, yeah, check those out. They're pretty good. I had them for the first time actually about a week ago.
Me too.
I was a fan.
I stole one from you.
You did.
And that was my first one ever.
Yeah.
It was good.
But she asked politely, so I wouldn't count it as stealing.
I didn't.
William Buffer saying, how has DiGiorno still not sponsored you? I don't know. Beats me.
It's been months.
I mean, normally we got Ed Harrell in the chat. He's buying 10 a week, it seems like. And I want to say it's all because of me.
We recommended it,
yeah,
first.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he was on the DiGiorno train long before we got on
but
board.
Not the croissant crust.
Oh, yeah, the croissant crust.
I think we recommended the croissant crust to him.
Yeah. Oh, and we have a Cam Chef saying friends in Cameroon had to dry all of their meats like beef jerky.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of what I've heard. Mm-hmm. They salt it and they dry it out. And that's how you preserve food. And that's how you get to have that protein and that nutrients at different times, especially if it's going to go bad or you don't have refrigeration. Like there's so many different things. And it's just crazy to see all throughout history, obviously present time and the situation that we're in, we live in a completely different world. We're able to buy DiGiorno from down the street, cook it in our oven, and then bam, it's done, you know? And if we don't eat it tonight, we put it in the freezer. But there's a lot of different situations that people have where they make all their food count all throughout history. So all these little things, onions are about to go bad, pickle them, make beef jerky, do all of that. And then that's how you get the full extent and you're not having as much waste because, you know, for us, it's so easy to go to a grocery store and grab whatever we need. And then, you know, blueberries go bad or something like that. But there's things that we could do with blueberries as well. And like, I'm definitely guilty of this. I know you're looking at me. I'm guilty of this when it comes to like fruits and things like that. Sometimes I'll just forget about it. It's like, you can like sugar it, you can make it into a jam, you can do all of that kind of stuff to preserve it. So it's actually cool for all of us to kind of try to do like less waste or any of that and preserve our foods better, to look into this kind of stuff, whether it's fermentation or preserving it into a jam or making beef jerky out of meats. It's just really cool.
Yeah, I am a fan of beef jerky myself. So
you are.
I'm on board with that for sure. But let's see. Let me just look through the chat, make sure we have any more DiGiorno talk or beef jerky talk. William Buffer saying it, my Norwegian blood still loves smoked fish and meat. And PLD said, I had never bought a DiGiorno until you. At least that's what I tell DiGiorno's Twitter. Thank you for so much for being a part of the cause, PLD. But I think that just about wraps up everything we had to talk about on today's show. It was a lot of fun having you here for the first time. Thank you so much for joining me to talk about science. It's a nice change of pace from movies. Wouldn't you say?
It is. That's my 24/7 everyday life.
It's a palate cleanser, if you will, just like a kombucha might be.
And it's also interesting to have a conversation about something that I'm not super well versed in. You know, I'm not as familiar with science as I am with film.
Yeah. And there you go. I mean, that's the whole point of this show, is we're all trying to learn and grow and just have a better understanding of science together. Like for me, for example, I didn't know that type of system that is being used to power the Perseverance rover right now. And I feel like I should. I'm almost embarrassed that I told you guys publicly that I did not know what that was. But you know what I'm going to do? When second the show ends, I'm going to Google it. I'm going to find out.
I'm just happy that he has a buddy, or she has a buddy. I'm very happy.
Yeah. I think that's important. It's almost like that little robot that hangs out on that guy from Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, you know, if you play that video game. Yeah, I'm handing in my engineering card and my Star Wars card today because I just don't remember the name of that character. But that's about all the time we have left for today, guys. Sabrina Ramirez, once again, thank you so much for joining me. Where can the good people find you online?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Sabrina X Monica. Also on Twitter at Sabrina on Film. Obviously, the First Cut YouTube account, we see Billy Belford in the chat talking about where the physics of First Cut. Cool. Love to see it. You know, just compare everything to First Cut. Let's get First Cut always in the conversation. So I love to see it. Also, you can check out my stuff on Geeks of Color. Patreon.com/Sabrina on Film. We do film club every other week. I do weekly live streams and all this other really great stuff on there. So check that out if you're interested, if you want to hear me talk about sad movies rather than fermented food. Be sure you guys check that out.
Yeah, definitely, guys. Please go check that out. Support First Cut on Patreon. Support Sabrina on Patreon. It makes a world of difference and means a lot to us. And Belford calling me out in the chat saying mechanical engineers are expected to know real science. We are, but you know, sometimes you just miss certain things. I don't work on it in my day-to-day life as an engineer. You know, I work in a slightly different industry right now. I wasn't familiar, but I'm gonna learn. And that's the point of this show. And once I do learn, I'm actually gonna post on Twitter what I did learn. So guys, where can you find that? Well, Twitter and Instagram at BrandonHannah07 is where you can find me. And I don't normally plug it on this show, but I'm also gonna plug my Patreon, patreon.com/BrandonHannah. I don't have as much to offer as Sabrina and the First Cut crew do, but every little bit of your support really helps me, helps go a long way to support my dreams here of bringing science to the masses, being a science communicator, if you will. I recently, last weekend, a week ago exactly, actually, I finally dropped the Film Physics Christmas special, guys, which you could check out on my YouTube channel right now. You're already here, but just in case you got here by accident and you forgot how, it is youtube.com/Brandon Hanna. Guys, check out the Film Physics Christmas special. There's a Muppet named Ralph involved. We're talking about Die Hard, as you can see. This one took a lot of time, a lot of energy, and was a lot of fun to bring to you. So guys, if you missed that, please be sure to check that out. And I almost forgot to put ourselves back on camera. But as always, guys, thank you so much for joining us here today. Thank you so much again, once again, Sabrina. And thank you all for taking time out.